What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
It's another episode of What the Fuck. Jillian is out sick this week, so I got Charlie the Fister McMullen back.
I've been meaning to ask you, what is that Fister thing all about?
I don't know. I just called you that once and it seemed to stick. People liked it.
Because I'm not a puppeteer. I don't know if people think that I am.
I'm thinking it's more gay bathhouse kind of thing.
Okay.
Just so we're clear on that, you know?
Yeah. I just don't want people walking around thinking I'm a fucking puppeteer.
Oh, good God. Who would want that? Ugh. Now, we've got a couple of serious topics to... Well, the first topic's kind of serious. The second one will hopefully spark some nice debate. First topic is, and we will get into this in more detail in a little bit, you've been following the Chris Dorner nonsense, manhunt, free-for-all that LA's had this last 2 weeks, right?
I've been reading a story until it pisses me off, and then I have to stop. I'm getting less and less into the article as the time is going by.
And I can see that because... And then this is something we will get into. There is the fact that, frankly, the media is skewing the story. For this week's...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
This story actually has blown up in kind of a dumb way, too.
It's what I like to call counterproductive protesting.
Well, and the fact that it's by our lovely moron friends at 4-fucking-chan.
Right.
They have modded Doom to be... Chris Dorner's last stand, where you go out and shoot police officers. And for some reason, Charlie Sheen.
Subtitled Free Doom, I believe.
Yeah, it's... Well, no, I'm sorry. It's Christopher Dorner, True American Hero.
Right.
And the reason I'm thinking it's dumb is... Well, I think whenever 4chan touches anything, it gets dumb. Why did they think that this was necessary? I mean, do you think this was kind of a, like you said, counter-protest to the LAPD's handling of the Dorner thing? Or do you think it was just some idiot on 4chan went, this gonna be fun?
I think it's probably closer to the latter. Because in reading the story, I'm tending to side more and more with Christopher Dorner. Because the more I read about the LAPD, the more I think that it's believable that they would just flat out go on a kill mission, saying we're not bringing him alive. He's creating problems. We're going to go out and kill him, and we'll make it look however we need to make it look, and that'll be that. Then 4chan comes out with this video game, which is defending Chris Dorner, but also being racist as shit.
Oh, yeah. There is a lot. Because for those that don't know, Chris Dorner is black. And as you all know, the LAPD doesn't have a great relationship with the black people of LA.
They can't all just get along.
What it boils down to me is... The LAPD, while searching for Dorner, who I want to go on record and say was not a hero. This is a man that murdered two police officers, threatened the lives of other police officers, and said he would kill anyone who got in his way.
Including a basketball coach, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. So I am not trying to defend Chris Dorner that he was some innocent that the LAPD was going after. I don't want anyone to put those words in either of our mouths.
No, definitely not. I don't think David Koresh was a hero either, but I don't think he should have been murdered without due process.
Exactly. And now, to give some background, what Dorner did was he was an LAPD officer, very decorated. He filed a complaint against another officer for excessive force. Basically, another officer was beating a suspect while in custody. So that labeled him a troublemaker in the LAPD. He started to see his performance reviews go down, and he was basically ostracized because I'm sure, Charlie, you've heard of the blue wall and how you don't jump over that blue wall, right?
Yes, absolutely. My dad was a cop for 30 years here in Colorado, and he ran into shit like this all the time.
You know, if you do cross that blue wall, your life is effectively over as a police officer.
Yes. Ain't no kind of pariah like a police department pariah.
And the way I look at it, it's kind of like the LAPD is just another gang. There's the Crips, there's the Bloods, and there's the cops. They're a gang, and you don't break gang colors. So what happened was, now this part gets fuzzy, because his story and the LAPD's story neither of them seem credible. But basically, he said they were coming after him, so he went and killed two police officers, wounded another, and threatened their families if they kept coming after him. He was going to, quote, expose the corruption in the Los Angeles Police Department. And I don't think I'm going out on a limb, Charlie, to think, we all kind of knew it was corrupt anyway, right?
Yeah, that's like, I was watching The Insider the other night, and I'm like, ooh, cigarettes are bad for you, who knew?
While they were looking for Dorner and they didn't know where he was, and now keep in mind, for this next part, people, Dorner is a huge black man. That is relevant to what happens in the next couple of days in this story. The LAPD started staking out high-ranking police officials' homes in case Dorner would go after, say, the chief or a captain or something like that. They didn't tell the public this. Two old women, a white woman and a Mexican woman, working for the LA Times, pull up to, I believe it was the chief of police house, to deliver his LA Times at like 5 in the morning. The undercover officer guarding his home with no warning whatsoever unloaded bullets into their car. They were white. They were women. They were not driving the right vehicle for what they were looking for Dorner for, and there was no warning whatsoever given.
And I believe both women were like a good 20 years older than Dorner.
Yeah, one was 71 and the other, I think, was in her 60s or late 50s.
Let's get him!
Well, it's going to get more ridiculous. Just hang on. So that was the first. Now, both women thankfully survived. Actually, all the people we're going to bring up that the LAPD shoot all survived, thankfully. And I'm sure have a lot of multi-million dollar lawsuits pending against the LAPD at the moment.
And God bless them.
But so the LAPD then goes and decides that this is a manhunt. Now, this is where it starts to get spooky. To me, the LAPD never had any intention of bringing Dorner in alive. Basically, he killed two cops. We're killing him because they were shooting first and asking questions later on seven different people. Another one, there was a roadblock. A guy in an El Camino was told to turn around by the officer at the roadblock. He did go to turn around. Another officer arriving on the scene rams his car into the El Camino, T-bones it, and then starts opening fire into it with one witness swearing that he was screaming, "I got him, I got him, I got him." Right there looks like they're going, you know, it's almost like it's a video game, like it's a competition. Who gets Dorner first gets a $10,000 bonus or something. And then the day before Dorner finally gets sighted, there was again, white jazz band sitting in a van. Dorner was supposed to be in a Lincoln Navigator, I believe, at this point. A white jazz band sitting in a van at a gas station. Dorner loved jazz music, so they heard jazz music coming out of a panel van. The police opened fire on this white jazz band because it might be Dorner. Does this just sound like California cowboys to you? Anything that moves, we're just going to shoot it because it might be Dorner?
Yes. And this is perhaps the biggest irony in all of this. In opening fire on all these innocent bystanders who they have no reason other than their own ignorance to suspect, they're sort of proving Dorner's point.
Like you just pointed out, that they have no reason to suspect, not a single one of these incidents, they were ever given a warning or told to surrender or come out with their hands up. It was, "I think that's him, shoot!" Which leads to my supposition that they never had the slightest intention of bringing Dorner in alive. Whether that's because it was that gang mentality that, oh, you know, he killed a couple of ours, so he has to die. Or, and I'm not trying to sound like an Alex Jones here, but was there something they did not want him to be bringing to a courtroom?
I'm sure there was.
You know, he may have had evidence of the corruption that he claimed he did. They may have said, "This man cannot see the inside of a courtroom or we're fucked."
Right. The whole thing makes me sick. I mean, Dorner is in the wrong because he killed a bunch of people that he shouldn't have. The LAPD is in the wrong because they're just shooting as many people as they can, assuming they're going to get the right one. It's the way writers usually pitch jokes on Family Guy. And
That was a good slam there, by the way.
And I even like the show. I'm just that much of an asshole. And I don't know. I mean, there's no silver lining at all. I mean, even 4chan, in trying to protest, just manages to fuck it up even further.
Well, and then this gets even more into conspiracy territory when they finally do corner Dorner. And I'm not trying to make a pun there. When they do finally corner him up at Big Bear in this cabin.
Which is a ski resort, by the way. So those of you who are already racially profiling this story, keep that in mind.
They corner him. Now, remember, he has said he will not be taken alive. So on that aspect, I don't blame the LAPD for wanting to come in with force. He's killed two of theirs. He says he's not going to be taken alive. I get that they want to come in heavy. Now, here's where it gets spooky. CNN had live helicopter feed footage of the cabin. And right before the police went in, CNN was ordered to cut the live feed.
Right.
I can think of only three other occasions where that's happened. Ruby Ridge, Waco, and the takedown of Theodore Kaczynski. All three times, something they did not want the information they did not want the media to possess. So that's suspicious right there. And then, right before the fire started, I believe it was CBS LA actually caught on one of the radio calls that went out live, and they've been trying to scrub this off the internet, one of the cops going, "We're going to burn the motherfucker. This fucker's going to burn."
Police officers, understandably, upset.
And then, miraculously, the cabin gets set on fire, and the official story is Dorner set the cabin on fire. I'm
right.
Sorry, but this smells conspiracy up and fucking down, Charlie.
Yeah, it's the LAPD adopting the philosophy of an eye for an eye, which is never a safe thing to do, and not a very Christian thing to do, by the way. I mean, this country was founded on everyone having the rights that a democracy gives them, and one of those is a right to due process, right to trial. Whatever anyone has done, they are not to be killed because of that without a trial. Now, then afterwards, the death penalty can come in, which ironically I'm a big supporter of. I'm liberal about most things, but I'm a big believer in the death penalty. But I mean, the whole thing just pisses me off. It's people not thinking things through,
well,
to put in its simplest terms. I think that's what it is, and it has dire consequences.
And you know what I actually see happening? How old were you in 1992, Charlie?
92, I was 12 years old.
Do you remember the L.A. riots after the Rodney King verdict?
Yeah, I remember the song Sublime wrote about it. Good song.
I remember watching it live. I was in high school at the time. I was a sophomore in high school when these things happened. Or maybe I was a junior in high school when this happened. I remember watching all this live on the news.
Yeah, now, I watched it all.
And remember how the LAPD went through a cleansing after that.
Right.
You know, getting rid of all the corrupt officers, new management, everything. I think this is this generation's watershed moment for the LAPD. I think this Dorner incident has raised so many questions and put the LAPD in such a bad public place, they are going to have to do a culling. Like, to me, every single cop that was just opening fire or harassing someone during the search for Dorner, I don't see having a job next year.
What's really depressing is that every generation seems to have their own horrible LAPD story. First it was Attica, then it was Rodney King, then it was the LA riots, then it was Reginald Denny, and Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I mean, the LAPD...
What the fuck is going on with the LAPD?
Do you see why Henry Rollins loves that term, California Cowboys? Because he's
right.
Not wrong with it.
No, he's not.
And I think this is going to be that watershed moment. And then the LAPD, you could tell something was wrong even before they identified Dorner's body. When they made their press conference the night of the fire, they kept saying the crimes he committed. Oh, I'm sorry, had he been convicted of a crime? Or had he been accused of crimes? It sounded to me like the LAPD had already convicted the man.
Right, without ever having been arraigned or even fucking arrested.
Arrested, yes. That's why I'm saying this screams of cover-up. And what's the worst part of a cover-up, Charlie? The cover-up. It's always worse than the crime, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think the LAPD not only comes out unscathed out of this, I don't see them coming out at all. I see the governor just kind of going, you know, all of you, you're done. We're clean sweep, all new officers, all new command. I see within the next year, none of the officers that were on the street in the last 2 weeks will be.
Although, in all fairness, there might have been cover-ups that have worked fine throughout history. There could be several, because we don't know about them.
Because we don't know about them, right.
Yeah.
Exactly. There's a joke built into that. You know, it goes back to that old joke. I don't know if this is the originator of this statement, but I first heard it on the old Max Headroom TV series. Do you know how pervasive censorship is on TV? You don't? That means it's working.
Did you hear the one about the successful cover-up? Exactly.
You really think a cop did this? Why not?
Why does Jack keep killing people?
He'll kill again. He enjoys killing.
When the most terrifying man in the city carries a badge.
I'm gonna read you your rights.
You have the right to remain silent.
I know who committed these murders.
Forever.
He's back. Only now he kills innocent people.
Maniac Cop, rated R.
Hey, you guys, Hart D. Fisher with Heart Attack here. And, you know, I had a whole list of topics to cover tonight, but Josh has got something pretty personal, so we're going to hit you with the personal stuff first. First off, I want to give a plug to Spirit Lake. I have been working with Ronda Rousey's mother, Dr. DeMars, and the people at Seven Generation Games on a new game that teaches kids math. It's called Spirit Lake. That's S-P-I-R-I-T, lake like you go swimming in. And they've got a Kickstarter program, and there's just a few days left. By the time this hits the airwaves, there's only going to be a couple days left. They're not trying to raise a shit ton of money. They're just trying to raise 20 grand. They're over halfway there. And if any of you guys out there want to help kids learn math, this is a great way to do it. It's a great computer game. That's my plug. Go to Kickstarter. Look up Spirit Lake. And speaking of school and games, Josh, what the fuck happened to you and your son today?
All right, my son went to school today like normal. The school did one of those impromptu drug raids where you know, officers just swarm the school and, you know, they pat down everybody, check lockers, etc. Now, you got to remember, he's driving my car. My son doesn't have his own car, so he's driving my car to school. They said they had the right to search my car because it was on school property. Now, my son does not have any drugs in the car. I know there are no drugs in the car.
Wait, wait, let's not even get into the drug issue. The issue is the school claims they have the right to search your car without your permission, and it's not even parked on school grounds. It's just parked on the street by the school. Is this what you're telling me?
Yeah, they are searching cars of students.
Now, wait, wait, let's get this straight again. Okay, so they're claiming they have the right to search your car without your permission that's parked on a public street by the school.
Yes.
That's one. Two, did they search your car, Josh?
No, because my son protested against it, and they didn't. But they said they
Hallelujah.
Have the right to. But they have the right
Hallelujah.
To if they chose to. And I'm thinking, that's bullshit.
That is horseshit, folks. You know, if you've got your car parked in the parking lot at Walmart, Walmart does not have the right to open up your car and search it.
No, they don't. And I'm sorry, I get that you're looking for drugs. And they did find drugs on some students. So I guess it was successful. But you can't just go stomping on my rights of privacy. You have to have a reasonable suspicion that I would have drugs in my car to search it the same as you would if you were searching it if it was parked outside my house.
No, you're totally right, Josh. And, you know, it really goes into this idea that we've been discussing in which they seem to feel that they could do whatever they want whenever they want. One of the things I want to talk about today was, you know, we've got different laws in this country for, oh, rich or famous people like bankers at the HSBC, or if you're a Catholic priest, you seem to get a get-out-of-jail-free card for aiding and abetting child rapists and child molesters. Well, here we have a tale of an Iraqi veteran in New York who's been arrested because all he did was sell his old gun magazines that hold more than 10 rounds, and they just changed the law so it's only 7 rounds. So they arrest the Iraqi war veteran, but they let the journalist go. They let the guy on TV go.
And see, I don't get that. Okay, if he was manufacturing a new kind of magazine that violated the law, okay, I'm kind of with the government there or the police. But the fact that he's just selling an old piece of technology that he legally bought, that would be hard, like saying VCRs get outlawed. So all of a sudden, I can't go sell my old VCR on eBay that I legally bought when it was legal. It's bullshit.
These guys, this is a former Army Staff Sergeant in New York. He had recently been discharged on a medical discharge from the military. He's only been a civilian since 2010. He's in New York. He's trying to sell his gun magazines, and they arrested him and charged him with 5 felonies. These are just the magazines you put your bullets in. Do we really need to arrest this Army sergeant? And he didn't even have any clue that he was breaking the law because it was a brand new law. They just signed it into law. But the journalist, he knew exactly what he was doing. He knew exactly what he was doing. He knew he was breaking the law. But since he was famous, he doesn't have to go to jail, just like the bankers at HSBC. But if you're a regular kid and you drive your mom's car to work, he's got no reasonable expectation of privacy whatsoever. And it's not even privacy. It's a legal search and seizure, folks. Just because a car is parked at the school parking lot, they don't have the right to search the car. They don't. They flat out don't.
No, they do not. And that is still private property. Now, I get lockers. A locker is school property. It has been since I was back in middle school. But your car is still your property.
Dude, this goes right down to, I'm reading an article here about how this three-year-old girl with spina bifida who's paralyzed going to Disney World is grabbed by TSA agents as they detain her and they confiscate her stuffed animal and they're searching her, and it's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting the way that they're just trampling on our rights left, right, and center. Your kids, three-year-old crippled kid, doesn't matter, cavity search.
But Hart, what a lot of people don't understand about the TSA, they will hire anybody, Hart. A friend of mine applied for the TSA. They don't look at background check. Having a criminal background will not knock you out of the running to be a TSA agent.
So you could be a convict who's not allowed to own a gun, but you could be hired by the TSA to body cavity search three-year-olds, crippled kids?
Yeah. The friend of mine that was up for being a TSA agent, that he applied for the job, they didn't hire him because he had outstanding student loans, but you know who they hired in his place? A convicted drug dealer. Because that makes sense, right, Hart?
No, that doesn't make any sense at all. I'm reading about these drones that they want to start using in America. They want to use drones in America, guys. They want to use these drones here. Do you guys want to have a little flying helicopter spying on you? Do you, Josh?
I sure as shit don't. There is a thing in America. We still have a right of privacy. The cops don't have the right to spy on me. They don't have the right to look into my window. They do not have a right to tap my phone unless they reasonably suspect I'm doing something, not just in case I'm doing something.
Going to come back to the same old shit I talk about again and again. This is why we have to be active in the lawmaking process, because if we are not active in the lawmaking process, this is exactly what happens. People's rights get trampled. Laws get out of control. And I really think that, you know, it's out of control right now. These people folks are complaining about government, and they're complaining about this, and they're complaining about that, but they don't tell you what's really going down in the government anymore in the paper. They buried this article in my LA Times. They buried this back in the fucking, way in the back in B3 of the paper. I get to read about how, hey, folks, did you know that in March, automatic spending cuts set to take effect in our government may result in the furloughing of every meat and poultry inspector for 2 weeks, effectively shutting down a major part of the U.S. meat industry. Were you aware of that, Josh?
I was not.
That would be pretty important. I think that's more important than Senator McCain's crusade to find out what happened in Benghazi. Who gives a fuck? We're going to...
Lindsay Lohan's fucking this week, but the general populace doesn't.
It's just playing into their hands, though. Major corporations, you know, have a handhold on the news, and so they're not talking about stuff like this. My local bank got robbed. My bank that I go to got robbed a month ago. It wasn't in the paper. They didn't really mention it. It was in my local freebie giveaway paper, not in the LA Times. And they got robbed like a day before I was in there making a deposit. It's fucking crazy.
But Hart, they're already trampling. I had an experience years ago. The house I live in now was busted for drugs. I wasn't living here yet, and I lived next door. So while they were looking for the owner of this house where they busted and they found a whole ton of pot plants, my wife had, this was in the middle of summer, almost to our roof, tomato plants that she'd been growing, just fucking huge tomato plants. They said, okay, there's pot in that house. There's huge plants over there. They might have pot. And they come knocking on my door at 9 in the morning asking if they can see if I have any illegal substances in my house, literally based on my wife's tomato plants.
Wow.
That really happened, Hart.
I do know that my wife, her pal, you know, one of her friends in the band scene here in Los Angeles, he and his children had moved to an apartment that previously had belonged to a drug dealer, and he lived there for 3 years. The police showed up one day and raided his apartment because they thought that old drug dealer was still there. They raided the apartment at gunpoint. They arrested and they locked him down in front of his kids at gunpoint. And then they finally figured out we're not even at the wrong, we're not even at the right house. We're completely at the wrong house. And this dude, he left L.A. He moved. He said, fuck this, I can't raise my kids here, and he disappeared. But what we're seeing across this whole country, our government has completely lost touch with the citizens, and we have been co-opted by psychotic corporations. Corporations are not real. They're not human beings. Nobody from these corporations seems to go to jail for all the humans like us that get murdered, and they keep tightening. You know, they let HSBC bankers go that they know we're helping launder money for terrorists, that they know we're laundering money for cop-killing drug dealers in Mexico. They let those guys go, but they want to go through your car in the school parking lot anytime they feel like it. They want to be able to grab you and your daughter on the plane ride and search either one of you anytime they feel like it. They want to be able to run you through disgustingly radioactive murder machines. Oh, that's right, those x-ray machines that forget about the fact that they could see you naked on those things. Those things destroy soft tissue. They collect radiation in the tissues of the testicles, the ovaries, and the breasts. And the people that operate those machines are in danger. And we, the people, we really have to be active. And I went out, and I've been dealing with my local business people. There's a meeting right now, happening right now tonight, about this emergency lane situation I've got going on here in Highland Park. The local business leaders are there, and they're going to give me a heads up, and they're having an effect. They're having an effect on what's going down with the street and the emergency lanes. And if you get active, you can make a difference. We can turn this tide back. We can take our government away from the corporation. I mean, the root of fascism is when corporations run the government. That is the root definition of fascism. And I think we're seeing that happen now, because people in these corporations, they get a free ride. If you're a priest in the Catholic Church and your buddy priest rapes a child and ties him up and rapes him, and you help him get away from the law knowing that you are aiding and abetting a child rapist, you're not going to get convicted. Government's in your fucking pocket. They're in the pocket of the Catholics. It's no joke. They're a running and ongoing child molestation network. They hide child molesters from people. It's happening right now. But we're too busy worried about what's going down with Lindsay Lohan. But that's just a distraction. If we rise up and we go out and we make a difference, it'll happen, guys. I know people get really bummed out, and I'm really unhappy with what Obama's doing right now in the government, but it's not just about Obama. It's about from the ground up, from your government at home, your city council. It's all happening around us, and we have to speak out. We have to talk to people. I've been talking to my friends in the police force. They're not necessarily happy about this Dorner thing. They're not happy about how this whole thing went down. All that shit with LAPD shooting up innocent civilians, that makes it hard on every cop in the nation. It does. Really hard. We have to get a grip here, guys. I don't have any easy answers. There aren't any. It's going to be a hard climb. It's going to be inch by inch. But you got to fight it out. You got to go for it. Otherwise, your kids are going to be searched. We're going to have eavesdropping police dudes outside our windows with helicopters and drones. They're already talking about putting black boxes, indestructible black boxes in your car. It's going to keep track of everything that's done in your car.
And Hart, let's also not forget, CISPA's back.
Yeah, we talked about CISPA, and then the day after we recorded our show, Obama snuck in CISPA in an executive order that he signed a day early. They want this CISPA thing so goddamn bad. We got to wreck it, guys. You got to go. What's it? Demandprogress.org. Isn't that one of the great places that's working to help change the tide? You have to contact your senators. You have to contact your congressmen. And folks, when you do, be civil. Remind them that you're a voter and that these are your concerns, but be civil and you'll get a lot more. We can make these changes happen. Look, guys, I know this is really, really frustrating, but it's so important that we stay on top of our senators, that we stay on top of our congressmen. Remember to speak to them like an adult. We're trying to address a problem here. So make sure you let your congressman or your senator or your local mayor or your local representative know you're a voter. You care about how they are voting. You are talking about it. But most of all, you're a voter, and you're watching, and you're voting. And if you contact these people and you let them know what your concerns are, they will cave. You can make a difference. We can, all of us, make a difference.
And to make a very uneasy segue, if people just want to relax for a while and not deal with all the bullshit that we constantly drop on their heads that kind of puts a dark spin on their life, there's always American Horrors, right, Hart?
Yeah, that's true. You know, American Horrors is free now. If you go to www.filmon.com, that's F-I-L-M-O-N.com. I'm not ranting and raving, just having a good time, playing awesome rare horror movies, and it's all free.
Let me, Emmanuel, teach you the secret joys of love. I will show you how to live for pleasure and how to make your most exciting fantasies come true. You will discover that nothing is wrong if it feels good, and you will not be content until your life is truly alive with love.
Paramount Pictures presents the all-new Emmanuel, The Joys of a Woman. Rated X. No one under 17 admitted.
Now, Charlie, I'm sure you've heard of all this stuff about prostitution. I mean, we all know that, yes, there are issues with prostitution where women are sold into slavery. There are women that are hookers against their will that live under the oppression of prostitution. We all know that, right?
Right.
But would I be remiss in saying that that is very much a misnomer of the popular ideal of the prostitute?
I think it's somewhat of a misnomer. I mean, anything that goes against the woman's will, or the dude's will, I'll say that because it happens, but anything that is non-consensual and having to do with sex goes outside of prostitution, and it's just rape. That's what it is.
What I'm talking about is more of the prostitutes that want to be prostitutes, or maybe they're not forced into it with a figurative gun against their head, but it's the only way they can earn money. They are still making a choice to be a prostitute. What about those $3,000 an hour escorts? Those women generally want to do that. You know why? Because money is really fucking good for very little work.
Exactly. They could buy and sell me if they wanted to.
Not that they do,
but you know.
Well, because and the reason that we're talking about this is the Village Voice recently in their downtown Manhattan office had a protest outside it. Hey, hey, ho, ho, prostitution has got to go. It was a radical feminists and evangelical Christians. First of all, how often do those two groups get together on something, huh?
Not often.
I found that kind of funny that those are the two groups that came together with this. I guess you can set your differences aside for a small reason, huh?
Yeah, we'll argue about my vagina tomorrow. Let's just take care of this.
And basically, they were trying to protest the Village Voice because they have a Village Voice Media, the same company that owns the Village Voice. They have a website called Backpage.com, which is, and I'm not sure if I believe this number, but which they report to carry 70% of all sex ads on the internet.
I don't know if I'd believe that.
Seems a tad inflated to me. I don't know about you, but
yeah, what with the existence of Las Vegas and all, I don't know if I'd believe it's that much.
Right. So the number might be a little bit skewed, but Backpage.com has a lot of sex ads.
Sure.
And they got a lot more popular after, do you remember Craigslist used to have the adult services section?
Yes.
That was shut down a couple of years ago. I guess my question is, what do radical feminists have against prostitution in general? Because to me, I actually see when you take the women that actually are slaves, that actually are the sex slaves, let's just narrow this down right now to the girls that want to be prostitutes, okay?
Voluntary prostitutes.
Right. Wouldn't that be a female empowerment? They're using what they have naturally to mentally and sexually enslave a man, get paid for it, and get paid really, really well. Is that not kind of female empowerment?
I don't think so, Josh. I think that might be going a little bit far. I don't think it's empowerment. I think it's just, you know, woman doing a job that she doesn't like. I do a job that I don't like during the day. And just because I'm able to do it and go home and then do all this other shit, I don't consider it empowerment. I just considered it doing a job.
If a woman had the choice between working at McDonald's or taking dick in the ass for 15 minutes or working an 8-hour shift at McDonald's for the same amount of money, wouldn't that be empowerment that you're making the choice you want to make?
Okay, I don't think for the same amount of money. I mean, because if it's an 8-hour shift at minimum wage, you're looking at like $75.
Hey, there are cheapers out there.
I mean, yeah, but Jesus Christ, have a little self-esteem.
But okay, then let me ask, why is the sex industry, whether it be strippers, whether it be legal prostitutes like you brought up, Vegas, or anything like that, or, you know, the high-priced escorts, why is that... The porn stars even, yes. Why is that so looked down on by not just the feminists and women in general, but society as a whole? Why have we not gotten over our puritanical belief that being a prostitute is somehow lower than being the guy that shovels shit?
Since I've read this story, I've been thinking about that exact question, and honestly, I don't know. I don't know if it's because of my own sense of morals is skewed, or if... I think religion probably plays a big part in it. I think people that get hung up on religion and being righteous and being pure and things like that, that's probably where the judgment comes in, as it usually does in the case of religion. Because I'm not ascribing any religious beliefs to prostitution, I don't look down on it that way. I just think it's a job like any other job. It's probably terrible most of the time. Sometimes it can be enjoyable. Sometimes maybe even it can be empowering. But I don't look down on it with, like, from the point of view of someone who brings religion into it. You know what I mean?
Well, and the article that he's referring to is from Melissa Gurria Grant, who's a journalist who used to be a sex worker, and there was a time when she was doing both simultaneously. Her basic issue is with these feminists that they look down on her, that somehow the fact that she was a prostitute while being a journalist, which to me is just a different kind of prostitute, really, that somehow it stained her journalistic credentials. Like, all of her journalism comes into question because she used to be a prostitute. That's the kind of stigma I'm talking about. Do you see what I mean, Charlie?
I do, and it's ridiculous. One has nothing to do with the other.
No, it doesn't. I mean, would all of a sudden, because you're a famous rock star and you used to be a plumber, and so you used to stand in shit and piss, does that somehow make you less of a guitar player? I mean, it's the same dichotomy.
If I learned that Jimi Hendrix was once a plumber, I would still like Purple Haze. I wouldn't look at it any differently.
But to most people, if you learned that say, the writer of your favorite book used to be a prostitute, it's all of a sudden it kind of clouds your judgment, and that's what I don't get.
Okay. Well, my favorite book is Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, and if Hunter Thompson used to be a prostitute, then I just feel bad for women because they could do a lot better.
Yeah, he was probably not a very good hooker. But
he was a brilliant man, but not an attractive dude.
There's also the issue of safety, legislation, and regulation. Prostitution is often called the world's oldest profession, and there's a reason for that, Charlie. It's always been around, and it always will be. I'm sure there were Neanderthals out there who the man wouldn't let the woman into the cave. She gave him a quick hummer, and then she got to sit by the fire. Always been there.
There's always going to be a market for it. I mean, because I spend a lot of time in bars. A, because I'm a raging alcoholic, but B, because I do karaoke and I'm a comedian. Yeah, and I eavesdrop in a lot of conversations. And they're like, I'm a married man. I'm content to sleep with my wife if she's in the mood. If not, then just quietly rub one out on the internet. I've learned that I'm in the minority. There are guys walking around that just they have to get laid. It's like a weird kind of jonesing, just, oh my God, I've seen guys like this everywhere. They just have to get laid. It's like they think they're not a man unless they get laid X amount of times a month.
Then there's the thing where it comes to the women. Okay, being a street hooker, since it is illegal in the majority of the country right now, being a street hooker is dangerous. You don't get to pick your clientele. You've got no health care. And it's stupid in the way of the government by making it illegal because all that income is non-taxable.
Right.
So by making prostitution legal, or at least taking it out of the shadows, you could regulate it. Therefore, you would have rules. Girls would actually be able to screen clientele, keep the violent fuckers out of there. Two, you'd be able to tax their income, which I don't see a downside in any way for that. Three, they'd be able to get medical care and constant checkups like the porn industry does. They're getting an HIV test and a gonorrhea test every month.
Right.
Why is all this bad? Why? It's like we see this problem all over the country. Let's just stick to America for the right now. We see this problem all over the country. It's like the majority of people have the ostrich syndrome. If I pretend that's not happening, it's not happening. And you're missing out on all the benefits. Just like how many states legalized weed in this last election? Three, four?
I don't mind it, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, and you can't remember anything else after that, huh?
I cannot.
But it's like that. Those states finally saw there's tax revenue here. There's safety that can be caused. Second of all, you undercut the organized crime. All of a sudden, the mob and your street pimps lose all of their leverage.
Yep.
There is no downside other than the complicity of the church. And like you said, that sort of religious morality that even non-religious people in this goddamn country seem to have for some reason.
That's the only thing holding it up. I think if people did not have this moral religious hang-up, then prostitution could be legalized. It could be regulated. The prostitutes that do it could get health care. The states, the individual states, could tax all of the hookers' incomes. Roads and schools would improve. Serial killing would drop right the fuck off.
But then there's also the other thing of the girls themselves. Because there is this stigma attached to it, and the fact that it's illegal, when people do a background check and they find out that a woman has a prostitution arrest on her record,
right,
that automatically disqualifies them from 85% of non-minimum wage jobs in this country.
Right.
So right there, you are stigmatizing. Let's say she was a hooker 25 years ago and she got that prostitution arrest. That is never going to stop affecting her life. Whether she's completely cleaned up, completely turned herself around, that stigma is always going to stay with her. And I don't agree with that. Okay? I used to work at a grocery store. Why should that have anything to do with a job I'm getting now as a 38-year-old? But when you're in the sex industry, it does. That's why I don't understand this. I mean, there are other countries where they have legal prostitution. And you know what? Girls are able to claim like their sex outfits as tax write-offs. That's beautiful to me.
Yeah, that makes me smile.
There is also the ideal of what actually is prostitution, Charlie. Okay, I don't know how long it's been since you and your wife dated, but you and your wife go out on a date. You know, you're not married now. You and her go out on a date. You buy her dinner. You buy her a movie. And she sleeps with you. Did you not just technically pay her for sex?
Technically, I guess I did. Literally, I paid for things that led to sex. But I know what you mean.
But that's only one step away. Do you see what I'm saying?
Right.
That, you know, okay, so what if I give her a DVD instead of the $20? Then is it prostitution? I mean, where is the dividing line between just having sex and paying for sex?
Well, I mean, the dividing line, the gray area, is where all these hardcore Christians reside. If I'm not paying for sex, then it's not prostitution. I'm paying for all these things with the sole objective of having sex, but still, I'm not actually paying for sex. That's the illusion that these people cling to.
Look at L.A. back in the 70s, in the early 70s, the L.A. porn scene. That's how most of the porn busts happened. Because remember, porn was illegal at that point because it was considered prostitution. You are paying a man and a woman to have sex. It doesn't matter if they are doing it for a movie. You are paying two people to have sex. Therefore,
right,
that is prostitution. And that just, okay, like that doesn't even take into consideration the difference between making a movie, whether it's a porno movie or not, making a movie and actual just like street prostitution to get a guy off. I see this is just, we have such a double standard in this country. And part of it is due to the evangelical Christians and the radical feminists. These are the same radical feminists that think pornography in all its forms should be outlawed. And I don't agree with that in any way. Just because you don't like it, woman, doesn't mean I don't. And you don't have the right to take something away from me, and I think that's the same thing with prostitution.
Right.
As George Carlin says, selling is legal, fucking is legal. So why is selling something illegal that's perfectly legal to give away?
Yeah, so why isn't selling fucking legal?
Exactly. So
you know, in war, you kill a man and you get a medal, you get a Purple Heart, and you go home a hero. In the real world, you get arrested for giving an orgasm.
The other part is just the fact that it should not be illegal. Most states would just embrace legalized prostitution. They would. I think most states would if their governors would have the balls to stand up to the Christian right.
Right. But none of them do because the Christian right makes up the biggest voting block of them all.
And so isn't this supposed to be about America? Since when did these fucking evangelical Christians get to decide what's right for the rest of us?
They got to decide when their numbers became greater that elected officials depend on them to remain elected officials. It becomes an issue of job security with our legislators.
Well, and then you've also got, you brought up earlier, the porn industry. The porn industry has that same stigma. But look at how many actresses tried to go from, and I guess the term is sort of loose here, mainstream porn to mainstream regular cinema. Look at how many of them were never able to truly cross over because of that stigma that, oh, you used to do porn.
Yeah, I think Tracy Lords is the only name that comes to mind. Maybe
and
Katie
she's
Morgan.
And she's the biggest offender that should have been kept out because of what she did.
Refresh my memory, Josh.
Tracy Lords came into the adult industry fashioning. Remember, she provided these documents, a fake ID, a fake driver's license, a fake certificate that all declared that she was over 18. Now, she had a calculated plan. I'll never call the woman stupid. I'll call her evil and completely moralist, but not stupid. So she did all these porno films until she turned 18. The day she turned 18, she went to the police and said, oh, I've been doing all these films since I was 15. Oh, my God, it was child porn. I was beaten. I was on coke. They forced me to do it. Therefore, she got all the media coverage. She sold out everyone she ever worked with.
Mm-hmm.
All of those films got confiscated, and a good chunk of them were destroyed, some of which even bootlegs are hard to come across. Because remember, they were all released legally, so I'm sure there's VHSs of them out there somewhere. Most of the males, only the males for some reason, most of the males that she had sex with in those films while she was 15 were charged with statutory rape. All because she lied. If anyone from the porn industry deserved the stigma from moving into mainstream Hollywood, it should have been Tracy fucking Lords.
Yeah, it wasn't cool.
I'm sorry, she did more damage to the adult industry than AIDS ever did.
And I'm starting to remember this now, yeah.
I will never respect anyone who would ever work with that Cascading Thunder cunt again. Which, I know you love Kevin Smith, but the fact that he cast her in Zack and Miri Make a Porno made me lose so much respect for the man. Especially because of how much he claims he loves porn, and then that he'd work with her.
Right. Well, I mean, he might have been just as ignorant about it as I was until he reminded me.
You know, so, I mean...
I'm sure she's not going to come out and say it right at, like, as soon as she goes to that audition, you know what I'm saying?
What are your thoughts on legalizing prostitution? Obviously, you think it should be the same as me. What is your reasoning for thinking it should no longer be illegal?
This is sort of a something being defined by what it's not kind of situation. I run into this all the time. But the reason why I think it should be legalized is because I can't think of one reason why it shouldn't be legalized that is not moral and judgmental.
It's kind of the same way that okay, if you say this is wrong, then why not this? You know, if B is wrong, then why not A? Then why not sluts?
Well, exactly.
Then why not outlaw the kind of prostitution we were talking about before, where you take me to a movie and throw a burger down my throat, then you can shoot a load down my throat. You like the way I put that?
They say chivalry is dead.
I'm eloquent, aren't I? But I mean, you know, it really is coming down to semantics to me, Charlie.
I could totally see that. I mean, there are just too many benefits that would come from legalized prostitution. That was a pun, if you got that. There's no reason not to do it. The only reason I can think of not to do it is too many wives and women and girlfriends in this country would be worried that they're going to go to a prostitute. I will tell you this though: there's no married men in this country that are just waiting for it to be legalized before they do it.
Charlie, do you think this story will have a happy ending?
The whole thing, that whole joke rubs me the wrong way, Josh.
my final thoughts on this is stop looking down on the sex industry. It's here to stay. It's always been here. You might not want to see it, but just pretending something doesn't exist doesn't make it so. So stop. To go from prostitution to Charlie the Fister McMullen, where can Charlie the Fister McMullen be found?
Well, the corner of 8th and Grand.
No, that's when you become Barbary.
Exactly.
No, Charlie McMullen.
You can find me over at geekjuicemedia.com. You can find me on Facebook and on Twitter at Charlie McMullen. I'd love to see you out there.
Is there any way to see any of your stand-up, you Mr. Comedian Boy?
Well, I've got a whole bunch of dates marked down for the coming months, and I'm going to be taping most of those. So as soon as I do that, I'm going to get with Alex Chowski, and we're going to put some stand-up clips on the Geek Juice Media site.
And you can find me at itsback1201beyond.com. We're still rebuilding, but the site is back. You can find me at Charlie McMullen's geekjuicemedia.com. I'm totally cutting Jowski out of that, so it's your site now.
In your face, Alex! Ha!
And you can contact the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. Anything you want to say before we get out of here?
Hookers are people, too.
This next record is dedicated to some personal friends of mine. The LAPD. For every cop that has ever taken advantage of somebody, beat them down or hurt them because they got long hair, listened to the wrong kind of music, wrong color, whatever they thought was the reason to do it. For every one of those fucking police, I'd like to take a pig out here in this parking lot and shoot them in their motherfucking face.
Fuck the police! Fuck the police! my dead homies.
Fuck the police.
For your freedom.
Fuck the police.
Don't be a pussy.
Fuck the police.
Have some motherfucking courage.
Fuck the police.
Sing along. Tonight we get even.